Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
The Fox Bet Super 6 NBA contest for a chance to win cash when you pick the outcomes of six of today's NBA games. Download the app now and play for free for your chance to win.
Nice. Bucky Brooks, we use him here at Fox Sports. He played in the NFL. He is a scout in the NFL. And he dealt with that pro day with Trevor Lawrence. And Bucky Brooks is now joining us live. This is a time of the year we can really go deep with Bucky Brooks. So, listen, this has been a kid. I saw him at a high school workout in San Diego, and I just was blown away by his arm. He's put on about 10 pounds. He's having surgery on his other shoulder. I don't know what that means. You broke down the workout. What do you see from Trevor Lawrence? Any concerns, trepidation? What do you see?
No, man, he's a very clean prospect. And the thing about it, Colin, he and Justin Fields have been on the scene for a long time. Those guys have always been number one and number two in whatever order since they were in high school. The thing about Trevor Lawrence is Trevor Lawrence has gotten better each and every year. He was at Clemson. On the field, he gives you everything that you look for. He's athletic. He has outstanding arm talent. He can make quick decisions. He is pinpoint and precise with the ball. I tend to call him Justin Herbert plus, meaning everything that you like about Justin Herbert plus a little more explosiveness and pop. That is what Trevor Lawrence is. And then when you get off the field, the intangibles, the leadership ability, the way that he led this program in the offseason, not only in terms of the return to play, but doing the social justice movement, Trevor Lawrence is a very mature prospect. He's someone that I can understand why everybody raves about him as a franchise quarterback.
Okay, what quarterback in this draft is do you think? I mean, none of them are undervalued. I mean, we're told we like all of them. Is there anybody that's a little to you more undervalued than the other ones?
Yeah, I think when you look around the mock draft scene, there are a lot of people that have kind of moved Justin Fields down to number three and maybe even number four in some drafts. And I think that we're making a grave mistake because I think we're being very nitpicky about his game. What Justin Fields is a five-star talent with outstanding combination of physical tools and overall ability. Now, where he needs to improve, his processing in terms of being quicker against coverage and those things. But, Colin, we have seen him on big stages look like the best guy on the field on multiple occasions. And I think sometimes we spend a lot of time worrying about how he looked versus Northwestern in Indiana. But in a league in which we've seen Josh Allen become a star player, there's no reason why Justin Fields couldn't become a star player in this league in the right system.
Yeah, I don't get it. We do this all the time. I remember people used to beat up on Andrew Luck, didn't have a great arm, and it was good enough. That's all I know. It was good enough. So let me ask you about J.J. Watt. So if you were a scout for multiple teams, you're a GM today. Let's forget J.J. Watt. I think I would bring him in, and I would structure his contract. Like, for instance, Green Bay. Green Bay is a team that leads in 80% of their games. Meaning, if I was talking to the agent of J.J. Watt, I'd say, listen, we're going to be leading. He's going to pin his ears back. Let's do a bonus-based contract. He can get a lot of sacks and a lot of production. He's our missing piece. That makes sense to me. Now, he's older. He's had some injuries. But when I watched him this past year, Bucky, I thought he was a good player. I thought he was a disruptor. Where do you think, what would you be willing to do with J.J. Watt if you ran a front office today? What is he?
Oh, I think he brings a lot of value. I think his leadership ability, I think his pass rush ability certainly is still valuable in today's game. We just saw a Super Bowl where we saw Jason Pierre-Paul and Ndamukong Suh have a major impact as 30-plus-year-old players. So J.J. Watt still offers a tremendous amount of value as a pass rusher. To me, I think the natural fit for him, the Green Bay Packers, having spent time in Green Bay, having known that J.J. Watt is from the Wisconsin area, there's a little bit of legacy there. Remember, he is a brand. The Green Bay Packers are a national brand. He'll get a chance to be on Monday Night Football a ton of times. He'll play with a quarterback in Aaron Rodgers that is guaranteed to put him in situations where he is playing with the lead, so he'll be able to get after the passer. And so when I look at the situation, Green Bay to me is an ideal fit. I will also say the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills are a great cultural fit for J.J. Watt. This is a team full of hardworking guys. Sean McDermott is a no-nonsense guy that has developed a culture there. I think J.J. Watt will be a nice fit in that situation, and both of those teams score a bunch of points.
Yeah, they do. They play with leads. So, you know, I was saying this earlier. Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season. He gets criticized. Andy Reid dominated the NFC for 5 or 6 years. They ran him out. Belichick had his first losing season in forever, and even guys like me are like, you know, man, he's a little rigid. Pete Carroll, who was fired multiple times, has now more power than any coach except probably Belichick. In fact, John Snyder almost left to take the Lions job because Pete had so much power in terms of personnel. But yet, as the defense slips in Seattle, and as they have had some very big whiffs in early rounds in Seattle, Pete never really gets, he's a little Teflon. There's a Doc Rivers quality where we like him. He's got a preference, presence. He's won a title. We like him. You know, there's something about he lights a room up. But when I look at Seattle since the Super Bowl, Bucky, I feel like sometimes they're making crap up. They're taking big trades, weird first-round picks. They go from leading the NFL in rushing to 19th. Pete doesn't get any – nothing sticks to him. Is it time we examine Pete a little more closely?
Well, I mean, I think he's under more fire now more than ever because Russell Wilson has recently come out and kind of voiced some of his concerns. The thing about it is really hard to take shots at Pete Carroll when you see the amount of success that the Seattle Seahawks have had. They're consistent winners. They're always in the postseason tournament. They're always on the cusp. I think the thing about Pete Carroll and what he's wrestling with now is how do I play the style of football that I want to play with a franchise quarterback? The difference was early in Russell Wilson's tenure, it was easy for Pete to use Russell Wilson as a game manager. Running game, defense, they won a lot of games, went to 2 Super Bowls, won one, probably should have won 2. But since they've handed the keys of the kingdom to Russell Wilson, the team wins, but they don't win at like the optimal level. They haven't been back to the NFC Championship game. They haven't been back to the Super Bowl. So Pete is at a crossroads in terms of how do I want to play? And I think his post-game comments after the loss to the Rams in the playoffs, I think they were telling. He talked about, we have to get these teams out of cover 2. As much as he wants to let Russ cook, it is detrimental to the team because the big plays aren't there, and it also exposes the defense to more snaps. I think they have to figure out the way to play. Bringing over the new offensive coordinator from the Rams is a way because they want to be a run-oriented team, but they want to have some of the sex appeal that satisfies Russell Wilson. That may be able to happen with this new offense that they're putting in.
Okay, from a scout's perspective, LeBron came out the other day and said, listen, in 2011, we had a lockout. I started working myself into football shape. I absolutely know I could have made the Seahawks. They asked me for a tryout. Tight end is a very unique position. Mo Alley Cox, Jimmy Graham, Antonio Gates. It is not it's not quarterback. It's not technical like a center or a tackle. It's not cornerback where it's a specific skill of matching up. Big dudes that can run can be taught to play tight end. And I do look at LeBron and I think to myself, he would have made the NFL, right? Like he would have been a nice player in the NFL.
Oh, he'd be more than a nice player. I mean, Colin, you named off those names, Jimmy Graham, Antonio Gates. I mean, let's throw Tony Gonzalez in there. I got another one, Julian Thomas. All those guys went to Pro Bowls, and they were just, I would say, average basketball players. And LeBron James, you're talking about a top 5 basketball player who was an all-state wide receiver in high school. He would have been 26 years of age at the time when he would have entered the league. He absolutely not only would have made a team, I would have bet on the fact that he would have been a star player. You don't see guys of that size, that stature, that can come over the middle, that has some experience. Would it have happened right away? Probably not. But in time, there's no way I would have bet against LeBron James not being able to be a dominant player on the gridiron based on what he did in high school, based on his physical dimensions, and what we know about his work ethic and his winning pedigree.
You like this time of the year, right? You this is for you. This is fertile ground for you and all this movement and stuff. Were you a fan when you were in the front office? You know, you work all year, all this scouting, and then your team goes out and gives up draft picks, and you're probably sitting there thinking, "Well, what did I scout all year for?" How do you view? You know, you get Carson Wentz, and you got to give up first round picks or Deshaun Watson. As a scout, would that drive you nuts?
No, I probably come from a different standpoint because I'm players over picks. I'm about a proven commodity over what could be behind door number one, number two, or number three. So if I have an opportunity to get a blue chip player in his prime, I am more than willing to pull the trigger on that. We have seen what Jalen Ramsey was able to give the LA Rams when he came over. Great player in his prime. He played at that level. We've seen others be able to come over and do those things. So for me, yeah, I ask you towards give me what I know to be true, someone that I've seen do it in an apples-to-apples comparison in the pros, as opposed to apples and oranges. Can this college player project? Will he play in the right system? I like proven players. So, yeah, I'm a little more on the player-friendly standpoint as opposed to the draft picks. There's a method to the madness, but yeah, I want good players.
By the way, we know Carson Wentz is going to fetch some picks. What would you do with a Sam Darnold who regressed last year? What is his value, in your opinion, as a former scout on the market today?
You know, it's funny because I hear people talk about first-round pick, but to me, I think he is somewhere in the second round. Yeah. I think he brings back a second-round pick. I just don't know how you can justify with his numbers and performance and production a first-round pick, because with that first-round pick, what you're saying is I'm getting a true starter, someone that's going to compete. I'm going to hit on it 75% of the time. I just don't know. I think Sam Darnold can be a good player, but based on what he's done during the league, it's hard for me to say, absolutely, I'm going to give up a first-round pick. Second rounder, I'll make the deal.
Former NFL defensive back and scout, now Fox Sports NFL analyst, our friend Bucky Brooks. Good seeing you, partner. Nice having you on again.
Hey, thanks so much, Colin.
By the way, he has a podcast that's very good with Daniel Jeremiah, and I Move the Sticks, I think it's called. Is that right? Look at that. See? That switch never goes off up there. Just phew, 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 information always just flying out of there.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
Well, Matt Ryan is expected to be back as the Falcons' quarterback next season, mostly because he is extremely expensive. But the team is still going to look at other options for that position down the line. GM Terry Fontenot said, "You always bring in quarterbacks. You need to bring in quarterbacks, whether it's in the draft, whether it's in free agency, or signing guys off the street. It's so important. It's about having the right 53. But we have to add competition at every position, so we're not going to be afraid to add strengths." I don't know that I completely agree with that. You don't always have to add a quarterback. If you have, say, Aaron Rodgers, you don't have to add Jordan Love. You could get, you know, another starter with that draft position. But when you do have Matt Ryan, who has struggled a lot, and he's owed 40 plus million in the cap hit this year, and you have the number four overall pick, I do think that you should consider taking a quarterback, because you are likely going to move off of Matt Ryan in the coming years, and you want somebody who can come in and sit behind someone like Matt Ryan, Learn a little bit. He's probably not going to start this year, but who knows? You really don't know what's going to happen if you bring in somebody in the first round, and you know there's injuries and all kinds of things. So we saw what happened with Justin Herbert this year. Obviously, I think Matt Ryan is a little more secure than the situation that was in place with Justin Herbert, Tyrod Taylor injury. But my point is, in this situation, yes, I do think that the Falcons should draft a quarterback, but I don't think that applies blanketly to every single team.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because Atlanta's got – their offense isn't the problem. I can see Matt Ryan sitting there going, "Guys, have you watched us play? We're scoring 28 a Sunday." They've got so many defensive issues. And I do think Arthur Smith, whether he works long term, I don't know. But Matt finally gets an offensive guy. So I actually think you could have an Aaron Rodgers situation where you draft Justin Fields. But then Matt gets this offensive coach like Rodgers did, and his numbers go up, and everybody goes, well, why'd you draft a quarterback? I could make the compelling argument that Matt's numbers for 2 years, we're getting 4 to 5 new quarterbacks in the league every year, plus you can acquire guys, that Atlanta really needs to get defensive players. I mean, it's not like they can't score. So I think Atlanta's in a situation. You could make an argument, and I would totally buy both. Their offense will be better now with Arthur Smith. They can't stop anybody in a very smartly quarterback division, and they need help on. I mean, I don't always have to have conviction on every argument. You can argue Atlanta needs picks in defense, and if you look at their scores last year, that's a reasonable argument.
You can, but in Bucky Brooks and Daniel Jeremiah's Move the Sticks podcast, they have a saying, confetti guy. Do you think that Matt Ryan is a confetti guy? Could you see him at the end of the year holding up the Lombardi Trophy as the confetti falls on his head? I don't. We've seen Matt Ryan in a Super Bowl and how that went. Now, obviously, Tom Brady was on the other side, but, you know, that's the question. Yes, you're right. They do need a lot of defensive pieces, but you also do have a new head coach this year. You are moving into a new era, assuming they're going to move off Matt Ryan despite his production. I think it's kind of reached the end of the road with Matt Ryan here. We just know he's not going anywhere because it's $40 million. And who's taking Matt Ryan at $40 million?
Right.
No one. So I think that's the bigger question there. So the 49ers have been looking at other options at quarterback and could move off of Jimmy Garoppolo this year. But Tiki Barber thinks San Francisco would be making a big mistake if they do that.
To make him a guy who's going to put the team on his shoulders and all of a sudden we're stagnant and we're going to, you know, let's get in this hurry up offense and I'm going to dime the ball across the field and make these great throws and lift us and make our, and, you know, less than, you know, Pro Bowl players better. I don't see that in him. With all that being said, I think it would be a mistake for the 49ers to flippantly move on with him and try to replace him with someone else, because I don't think that replacement is easily found.
Also, does Kyle Shanahan want to develop a quarterback? I mean, that division is just, Matt Stafford makes the Rams probably slightly better. The Seahawks are at least good. Arizona showed a little life. Kyler had a much better second year. I don't want to go in with, you know, and their draft pick is like, what is it, Joy, like 13th or something? So you're getting the fourth or fifth quarterback. Like, I'm not going to do that in that division. There's just too many good coaches.
They have the 12th pick. But Jimmy G is never available.
I know.
Like, yes, but he is injured all the time. He's missed 23 games.
I know.
Due to injury as a 49er. That's crazy. That is significant. So, yes, when Jimmy G is physically out there, they are capable. Like, they were one throw away from winning the Super Bowl. I like Jimmy G. But availability is a skill, and he is mostly unavailable. And that's got to be frustrating to the point where, obviously, they are very openly looking for a solution there. But I don't know that Kyle Shanahan would be against making some moves and trying to develop a quarterback, because if he's not there, if he can't play, if he's not on the field, you're not better off. Like, then you're running with backup. So is that, are you better off trying to develop a quarterback and you have someone for the future and maybe you hit and he's cheap but available, or do you run it back with Jimmy G, who, you know, may or may not ever even get on the field? He's injured a lot. So we just talked about this with Bucky Brooks. LeBron James had the opportunity to make the jump to the NFL in 2011. The NBA went into a lockout that year, and he said he was invited to try out for the Cowboys and the Seahawks. He hadn't played football since his junior year of high school, but he was still confident in his abilities. He told The Athletic, "I would have made the team. I would have tried out, but I would have made the team. I just know what I'm capable of doing on the football field, especially at that age." So, to your point earlier, this is going to drive people that hate LeBron James totally crazy. But, I was thinking myself, there was a moment in time where I was very upset with LeBron James for leaving my Miami Heat and going back to Cleveland. And how I'm not in that space anymore. I've grown. He's with the Lakers now. I can enjoy LeBron James and all his greatness. But how would I have thought in that moment? And I think that a lot of people are critical of LeBron James in one aspect of his game, which is why they would push back on the idea that he could make it in the NFL. And that is, LeBron may or may not sell some fouls every once in a while.
Sure.
Might exaggerate with a few flops. And that doesn't work in the NFL. The NFL, you actually get hit. Full collision sport.
Right.
And I mean, the NBA is a contact sport. The idea that the NBA is like all finesse and there's no physicality to it. You're talking about 7 foot tall, 250 pound men. You go run up against them and try and score a basket. You're going to end up on your back and very injured. It's very much a contact sport, but it's not a collision sport. So I think that's the part that people would be resistant to. But LeBron played football in high school. So it's not like he doesn't know the feeling of what it's like to be tackled. Obviously not by NFL players, but it's not like he never played football.
Listen, Travis Kelce doesn't like to block. Jimmy Graham mostly refused to block. Ali Mocox. I mean, if you look at the NFL, if you carry 3 to 4 tight ends, everybody's got a bad blocking tight end. LeBron would not be, he would not be a George Kittle or a Gronk. That's not what kind of player he would be. He would be an incredible vertical threat. He would not be your best blocking tight end. But remember, LeBron, if you look at his career, there's been thin LeBron. There's been heavier LeBron. And, you know, he's one of these guys that spends 7 figures a year in his body. There's no doubt in my mind that LeBron would spend 1.5 million. He'd get up to about 267, 266. He'd probably run a little slower 40. But you tell me in the red zone, LeBron fades to the corner. There's nothing. And we know how he can jump. There's just nobody in the NFL that could defend him. Nobody.
No one.
No. I wish. I've seen most everything I want to in sports. LeBron to the NFL would have been a treat that I'll never get to see. I'll say that. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Anthony Davis of the Lakers out for some time, could be up to a month. Thoughts on Steph Curry, who's playing his best basketball in forever. Chris Broussard joins me next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Chris Broussard covers the NBA for Fox Sports, formerly New York Times, Cavs beat writer for years, also does The Odd Couple with Rob Parker, very funny, sticky show, easy to listen to, and he's joining us now live, enduring the East Coast storms. I'm going to bounce a few things around for you. First of all, are you surprised Embiid and Simmons are working together? I don't like the chemistry. I've watched them this year. I still don't love it, but they're winning. They are winning. Wow. Tobias Harris looks better than he's looked in a couple years. What do you make of Philadelphia? Do you buy him?
Well, this is what I've said actually for probably 2 years, Colin, is that Brett Brown was fine, but get a new coach and give him a chance to work with Embiid and Simmons and see what he can do. And look, you may be looking at what happened last night without Embiid, and Simmons goes wild, and you know they lost to Utah. But that was, they played well. There's no shame in losing on the road to Utah. But this is working. This is working well. If I'm Philadelphia, I am happy with what Doc Rivers has done. He's gotten Embiid to go down low a little more. Look, I still would like to see Embiid down there a bit more. But he's playing as well as anybody in the league. His mid-range jump shot has become phenomenal. I think, Colin, he could end up surpassing Patrick Ewing as the best jump shooting center, like true center, not a stretch five, in the history of the league, the way he's shooting right now. I like them a lot in the East. I still have Brooklyn ahead of them, but I think Brooklyn and Philly are the two best teams in the East, and it's working. So I would not mess with it right now. They added shooting around those two guys. Doc's done a good job there.
Let's talk about the Nets. Listen, I think Harden and KD are good enough to win the East if you gave them some wing defenders. I just think with Kyrie and Harden, you're going to be in a lot of fun, wildly entertaining 136-132 games, but that doesn't feel like championship stuff to me. How long do you think they stick with this sort of three-headed offensive basketball monster?
Well, you said, look, Durant's the best player and Harden's the second best player. Now, Kyrie is a top 15 player in the league, so he's phenomenal too. But Harden and Durant are the two best. And I think KD And either of those two, like before they got Harden, I think they were a legitimate contender. So I feel you on that. But I think they can get to the finals. And I think if they get to the finals, obviously that means they're playing well. And they could give the Lakers or the Clippers, whoever comes out of the West, major trouble. So, offensively, it's been great. I said when they first teamed up, I said ideally what will happen is Harden is the point guard, Kyrie is the two, and Durant does his thing in the front court. I wasn't sure if Kyrie would accept that fully, but he has, obviously, and it's smart because Harden might be the best point guard in the league. I mean, like a point guard. He's still going to give you 20-plus points, but the way he runs the offense, the way he passes the ball, he is excellent. And I'm glad for him he's getting to show his whole game because a lot of people thought he was a ball hog and just a scorer. But their only question is defense because on offense, they can get an open shot every single trip down the floor. You can't really say that about any other team in the league. Every time down the floor, because of those three guys, Joe Harris or DeAndre Jordan or whoever else is out there or one of the big stars will get an open shot if they work for it. So I think they're great. All they have to do is get the defense together and play more games together with the big three so they develop chemistry. They're a real threat. Make no mistake about it.
AD will be back in 2 or 3 weeks. Let's talk Lakers when AD was healthy. They were on a long winning streak. Now, the games were ugly. They were winning narrowly. They fell behind 22-2 the other night and still won. Do you see any warts, or did you believe this new Laker team, which is younger, was better than last year's title team?
Yeah, that's a great question. I before the season, I was saying definitely. Now, I think they do miss some rim protection that they had with JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard. And Marc Gasol, you know, just doesn't have a ton left. You can see that. But Schroeder's playing well. He's playing well. And obviously Montrez has fit in. So, yeah, I think they were the favorites to win it when they are healthy. Here's what I'd like to see, though, Colin, while AD is out, and he's going to miss at least these 9 games, it looks like, before the All-Star break. Obviously, he's got to get right physically. But I think he needs to take a mental inventory as well of where he was, because I expected him to become, you know, get in the MVP conversation this year. Come off that championship with more swagger, more confidence, a natural passing of the torch from LeBron to AD as the top player on the Lakers, and it just hasn't happened. AD's scoring is down.
Yep.
His rebounding is down. Oddly, his foul shooting is down. Not just number of attempts, but he's a career 80% shooter, shooting 71%. And the numbers, I like him defensively. I think he's been great. But for some reason, the numbers say the Lakers have been better without him on the floor defensively. So I want him, maybe it's been because he's been banged up physically all year and playing through, you know, some soreness. But he's got to think, what is going on with me? I got to get, you know, my game face on during the regular season and display the same type of drive that LeBron is showing in the regular season so AD can become that MVP caliber player. That's what they're going to need from him to win the championship this year.
All right, we're up against it. Chris Broussard, you see him on First Things First in the morning. Fox Sports, he's our NBA guy. Good stuff. It is always a pleasure to see you, Chris. Good luck enduring that rugged East Coast winter. I'm glad it's you, not me. Thanks.
Thanks, Colin. Great to see you, buddy.
All right. Odd Couple with Rob Parker. Very funny radio show. Improve your diet, improve your life with delicious, high-quality protein delivered to your door. Go to butcherbox.com/HERD. 2 New York strips, pack of bacon free in your first box. butcherbox.com/HERD. Anthony Davis. That's what's interesting about Anthony. He was not having a good year. His offensive numbers were all down. Now, some of it is the break, and his body has to heal. But I'd say this. The bubble last year, those guys didn't have to be on flights. They got a 3-month in-season break, and they didn't have to be on flights. So, you know, I'm not saying the bubble wasn't challenging, but you can't use it as an excuse. AD was not playing well before he got hurt. We'll see you tomorrow. It's The Herd.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.